Kathy Geary, welcome to Now and Then. Today's program features a live performance with Aztec Two-Step. It's our pleasure to have two really master musicians live in the studio with us today, Rex Fowler and Neil Schumann. You know them as Aztec Two-Step. They're going to be performing tonight in Narrowsburg at the Tustin Theater. And they've been very generous with their time and their talents. And they've joined us here live in the studio today, Rex and Neil, Aztec Two-Step.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Welcome. Welcome. So these, I'm face to face with two really attractive gentlemen here. And they've got their guitars out and they're ready.
Yeah, we're
ready to play something for us. So I'll turn it over to them.
We're gonna start with something off our very first album, in keeping with the theme of the program.
Well, I can't understand what's wrong with a man. Don't he know how he's acting, was long ago banned. Don't you think it's a shame? Tell me his name. If I let him continue, he may get out of hand. Well, look at him laughing and carrying on like a hydrogen manic or an organic bomb. He's alive like a child, he's terribly wild. He has way too much freedom, and of course he is wrong. And he was born on the road in the month of July, and he lived on the road till his seeds fit to die. Cause he learned from the road how humanity cries, how society lies. He sees them more than his eyes. But look at him running, don't he know how to walk? He's just too damn cunning, you can tell by his talk. You can tell he's rude like a typical dude. You want my opinion? He belongs on the lock. But look in his eyes, you know he's unsound. There's no way to phase him, he's nobody's clown. He's as deep as the sea, he's equally free. That's why I fear him and hate him. Wish he was down Yes, whether riding the rails out of Denver, a bomb and his friend's cigarettes, he's asking them all to remember, making sure that they'll never forget. Well, you're curious about the man who I speak. He'll tear you and scare you out of your sleep, and I'm sure you will find you open your mind. It's you and I, he was really the freak. So relax, as you would for your hobby. His beauty abounds in his mind and his body, like the setting sun's hues, the dust on his shoes. He's living, he's naughty, he's the Moriarty. It's weather riding the rails out of Denver, a bomb and his friend's cigarette. He's asking them all to remember, making sure that they'll never forget. He may ride down the road at 110, exclaiming his thoughts about women and men. He'll tell you his dream or something obscene, and you swear you've been through it, but you don't know just when. He's like the dancing gold prairies that'll never be mowed. A wind in the sail, it's about to explode. He's like fire and rain, bringing pleasure and pain. And he learned all he knows from the ways of the road. Yeah, he was born on the road in the month of July, and he'd live on the road till the seas fit to die. Cause he learned from the road how humanity cries, how society lies. Sees him more than his eyes. Mm-hmm. the Mother July. He lived on the road till his seeds fit to die, 'cause he learned from the road how humanity cries, how society lies. He sees them all in his eyes.
Whoa. Oh, wow. Are you ready for that? Were you ready for that? Was I ready for that? What a sound coming out live on our hardware-powered airwaves. It's a magical experience to be right here in the room and to actually be able to experience the acoustic sound coming live through the air. You know, you hear microphones and you hear recordings, but to actually be sitting here, right here in this space with that sound swirling around is just outstanding. Wow, well, how exciting. So, you know, Aztec Two-Step, you were writing songs in the 60s. You guys recorded your first album in 1972 on Elektra.
Maybe 71. It came out in 72. Maybe it was 72, though, when we were in the studio.
Yeah.
January or so, yeah.
But you're writing songs in the 60s.
Well, I'm a few years older than Neil, and I had a pocket full of songs that, you know, that maybe one or two were keepers from the late 60s, but for the most part, I came into my own as a songwriter in the early 70s, and when I met Neil, I had three or four songs written, including the one you just heard, which was based on Jack Kerouac's novel On the Road.
Right, oh God.
When we met at an open mic night in Boston, that was one of the songs I played, I remember.
So this Dean Moriarty song, I mean, I don't know if any of my listeners read On the Road. I certainly read On the Road.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling, oh man, you read that book and it's hard to sit still, and you capture that feeling in the music. And the depth of the lyrics, it's like, it's very literary. The lyrics are so vivid.
Well, I like to say I wrote
a
pretty good
strong song.
I wrote
so
a pretty
strong.
Good book report.
Well, you had another song on your most recent CD, Cause and Effect, which was released at 40th anniversary 2012, called John Gary. And I was reading in the liner notes on the CD how that you had written that in 1967, I think.
Yes, that's
very
right.
Early.
That was I was in college at the time and was hitchhiking down from northern Maine where I went to school up there, and during a snowstorm, and I got stuck in the next town down, and the state trooper saw me there standing there for a couple hours, and he just said, "Look, why don't you come and spend the night in jail?"
This was a friendly invitation.
Yeah, he said, "You know, you won't freeze to death if you spend the night in jail."
Yeah.
He says, "You might otherwise." So this was up in the northern part of Maine in the dead of winter. So I wish I could say that I got thrown in for something lascivious, but unfortunately, just hitchhiking. And so that's where I saw some of the etchings and writings of what had been a migrant farm worker harvesting. The Aroostook County, where I went to college, was known for its potatoes back then, still is. And I'm sure that the migrant workers came in and probably got a little rowdy one night and spent a night in jail, and was, you know, had written a few things on the wall. So as a 19-year-old kid, that was pretty heavy stuff, and that was the basis for the song.
So that was one of your songs. You're saying that by the time you hit the early 70s, you know, you had maybe two or three songs, but they seem so accomplished. They seem so well-formed. It seems like you
should have heard the other ones.
Yeah, okay, well, then you worked your way up to it. You got signed to Elektra. Okay, there you are in coffee houses, and so many musicians started out in coffee houses. And the fact that you recorded that Moriarty song, The Beat Generation, I'm seeing in my mind, you know, a beret with bongos, you know, in a coffee house. But how did you get signed to Elektra Records?
Well, yeah, you know, we kinda,
that's a distant memory.
Well, yeah, but although an important one, so we do remember, you know, I mean, we got to the coffee houses, and really, the Beats were trailing off, and we were in the hippie era.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 68, 69, you know.
Yeah, rolled right into
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So, We met in Boston, and there seemed to be, as soon as we started to play, there just seemed to be a reaction from people. And a lot of things came our way, a lot of
opportunities. Maybe they reacted like I did, because they must have had a really strong reaction.
You know, Rex had some gigs lined up, and some other gigs came our way. Our first big gig was in a coffee house in Boston, opening for Tim Harden. Mm. We moved to New York City, which is where I'm from, after a few months in Boston. And
did you ever go through the Greenwich Village scene? You know, like the Bitter End?
Well, a little bit.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You know, I mean, we went to these, we would go to the Hoot Nights and everything.
But by the time 72, that's kind of like also waning at that point. So you came in kind of at the height of the golden age and just rolled with it.
I think folk rock was still a viable entity on radio. And I think that's what Jack Holzman, who had signed The Doors and Judy Collins and Carly Simon prior to us, he heard that connection, I think, you know, with what we were doing. Not unlike a lot of the other duos that were using their last names back then. That's one reason. That's another reason why we didn't want to use our last names. It seemed like just so many other duos doing that. Why would we want to be successful like they were, right?
A couple of duos come to mind.
Yeah, so Batdorf and Rodney.
Batdorf and Rodney. Brewer and Shipley.
Brewer and Shipley.
Seals and Crofts.
Yes.
Seals and Crofts.
Now, Seals and Crofts.
Loggins, Messina, Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon and Garfunkel. You guys resonate with them. So Simon and Garfunkel, Everly Brothers. So, when I'm looking online and I research musicians, you have a wonderful website, AztecTwoStep.com, and then there's a little bit of information like in Wikipedia, but there's just not as much information about, like, your birthdays, the year you're born and your birthdays, and I have no clue. And I'm always curious about that kind of thing, and I'm always curious about the details. How did you get signed to Elektra? How did you meet Jerry Yester? Jerry Yester, in my mind, is like this West Coast guy, Love and Spoonful. So he's like the Birds. He also knew Brian Wilson and was with the Beach Boys. So when he records you guys, there's that sound.
It was a good...
Is that anything like what you felt?
It was a very good match, you know, for us. Neil and I didn't even know what a producer was when Jack introduced us to Jerry. And, he wanted to put us with somebody that, you know, would capture the sound and bring something with it. And as you mentioned, you know, he had replaced... he was in Love and Spoonful, replaced Al Yanowski.
Yeah, yeah.
Was friends with John Sebastian because of it, who played on our first album. And it really was...
Produced Tim Buckley.
Yeah,
and that's probably what drew us more than anything to Jerry. But having met him, you know, he was flown in from the West Coast, as you mentioned, and we met him, and then we flew back out in early January and started making the record. And we were brought to Jack through, as you had mentioned, the club scene had waned, was very much waning back then.
Yeah.
When you compare it to the vibrant early 60s, with Richie Havens and Tom Paxton and, on and on. There really wasn't much of a club scene. And we were signed because somebody heard us playing in Central Park when we were out there just playing with the open guitar cases.
So it was live in Central Park, but there wasn't 300,000 people there. There was one guy who heard us,
gave us their business cards, and we went with a fellow who was personal friends with Carly Simon, and a dapper, good-looking English guy, and we kind of felt like, well, let's give it a shot, with him.
So you brought him with you back to New York City.
Yes.
Now, when you recorded your first album, you only known each other a year or something.
Yeah, we
not even.
Not even a year.
Yeah.
And now, it's been 40 years.
43 years.
Now,
But the thing is, we
43,
were in New York,
not
because Neil was from there, but because that if you wanted to get signed to a record deal, you could not get signed out of Boston.
Out of Boston.
No.
It had to be in New York or Los Angeles.
Yeah. John Edwards is the only one that I know who actually, there was, but again, Tom Rush started in Boston, went to Harvard University.
Oh,
but you know, there was a scene there. There was a huge folk scene. Yeah. That scene did not exist when we played there, and it did not exist in New York City. So I think that that's, you know, the fact that somebody heard us, brought us to a lecture, there was still that connection of, you know, singer-songwriter, folk rock, whatever you want to call it, that translated and got us that first deal.
And there were a lot of people in record companies and managers and agents in New York, you know, so just the chance, the odds of, you know, you could have hung around Boston for a year and somebody might have found you. But then the other, and I it's fun to talk about us going to the park and saying, as opposed to saying, okay, well, we're waiting for Monday, waiting for Hoot Night on Monday night when we can go to the open mic and play three songs, and then we'll be back again next Monday. We wanted to play, so we just went out and played every day for whoever would listen.
And the fact that we were doing original music, that was the key, because a lot of the buskers, people who were out there playing, were not doing original music. So I think that even though we didn't do as well with the tips, because they weren't. We did pretty good with the record deal, so it worked out pretty good.
Well, commercial success is no guarantee of artistic success. And, it seems like you lead with your hearts in your music, and that's so valuable. I mean, it just gives so much. It's so important. And you are going to be performing tonight. If you're within the sound of my voice, you have a chance to come out and hear these two master musicians performing live tonight in Narrowsburg. You know, that's right on the Delaware River in the Tustin Theater. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's got a wooden stage. It's an old Art Deco theater. It's small.
No, we haven't been there yet.
Oh, it's really sweet spot.
Looking forward to it, yeah.
So what are you planning to perform this evening?
Well, we're going to do stuff from the early first couple of records, and then kind of go through various songs, throughout, and our recording career, and then probably focus a lot on cause and effect as well. Mm-hmm. Which
we'd love to hear. I'd love to hear personally. What would you like to play, or were you accepting requests, or how?
And
does
also,
that?
We're going to play some duo stuff tonight, right?
Oh, is
I believe
the Simon and Garfunkel.
Is this a duo show?
I don't even.
It was kind of billed that way.
Sure.
I think your original music is just so inspiring.
Yeah,
and that's a kind of fun thing, because what we do then is we spend some time playing music of Simon and Garfunkel. We spend some time playing the music of the Everly Brothers, and then we'll go on to the second set and play some. With complete arrogance, we put ourselves in that category, and we go on the second set and play some.
Oh, no, no, you're in the right company. No, you're in the right company there, my friend.
Well,
absolutely.
You want to hear a quick Simon and Garfunkel song?
Play what you will, please.
Slow down, you're moving too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking on down the cobblestones, looking for fun, feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost, what you knowin'? Come to watch your flowers growing. Ain't you got no rhymes for me? Doodle doo doo, feeling groovy. Ba na 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 na, feeling groovy. I got no deeds to do, no promises to keep. I'm dappled and drowsy and ready to sleep.
Let the morning time drop all its
petals on me. Life, I love you, all is groovy. Ba-la-la-la-la-la, feeling groovy. Slow down, you're moving too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking on down the cobblestones, looking for fun, feeling groovy. Feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy.
Aztec Two-Step, Rex Fowler and Neil Schumann singing Simon and Garfunkel live here for us today at WJFF Radio Catskill. And live tonight, here, right here in our area at Narrowsburg, the Tustin Theater. Wow, that's just magic. Yeah. So a lot of things you have in common with Simon and Garfunkel, and a lot of things that are different from Simon and Garfunkel.
Absolutely.
You got that intellectual social commentary thing going down. You got the humor, the sound of the voices. Your voices together are magical.
What we don't have is Art Garfunkel's voice.
And well, that's a treasure.
And that's one of the things that I think Neil and I, you know, distinguishes ourselves from them. They are very precise, very pristine, amazing, you know, harmony singers. Neil and I are more like from the Rolling Stone school, you know, a little funkier, a little not so worried about if we cross one another coming or going down and
well,
and
now
forth.
In that last song, because I'm sitting here and I can see that Neil is singing the higher part and Rex was singing the lower part, and your voices, I can hear your individual voices when you sing together, but there's still that wonderful blend. And so it's special that way. And even though they might be more precise, there's something about your friendship of all these years that you hear it when you sing.
Wow, that's
amazing. How about that?
No,
yeah.
It's true. It's so true. I had the privilege of interviewing Art Garfunkel and talking to him about how he learned to sing and about his singing, because that's what was interesting for me. And he had a tape recorder in that his dad gave him, a little wire recorder in the basement, and he would always work with headphones and tapes. And so he was obsessed with the sound of his voice, so that was his art, you know.
Yeah.
But in any event, here's another difference. Simon and Garfunkel recorded 5 albums. How many albums have you guys recorded? So many records. I counted 16.
Not too many.
15, 16, I don't know.
Studio albums. Yeah. We've done a lot of compilations, and As Cause and Effect was our most recent. We cherry picked songs that we had recorded on various songs, and as well as a few other ones that we hadn't. But for the most part, I think we've done only 6, maybe 8 studio albums. Yeah. Okay. Over
That's
40 years, which isn't a lot. I mean, we're 10 years removed from our last actual studio album called Days of Horses. So we don't rush into things.
When you perform a song, like tonight, you'll be singing some songs, you know, that you recorded, you know, previously. Do you have to relearn them? Are they right there in your mind? Do you kind of have to learn it again? What's that like?
Well, one of the things that we wanted to do was because I think Neil and I both feel that our strength, and our audience would say this as well, our strength is in live performances. You know, you get the personalities, you get the, you know, the rawness of what we do, and we had been performing and still are with our dear friend Fred Holman, who's our bassist that started with us in 1974, and we had been performing with Fred for three solid years prior to that. So we wanted to, you know, make this record that would show off our what we have evolved into as, you know, individuals and who have performed together for so long. And so it was our goal to try to capture what we do pretty much live.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we approached this record. Yeah. And that's what I think we accomplished that. I think that our fan base has resonated with this record just for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting, you know, to compare the version, if you had recorded a song previously on a studio album, to listen to them side to side. And I catch what you're saying about that rawness of it.
There's an energy that comes from, you know, just standing up and playing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's in front of you, you know, our DJ, a new DJ friend, or, you know, whether it's, you know, people at live, whatever,
audience,
you know, even if you're just
yeah.
standing in the living room playing, there is an energy that
yeah,
happens.
Yeah.
Freddie, you know, is a big part of this record, and he's a big part of our show, and it's he'll be with us tonight as well.
Mm-hmm. So Aztec Two Step has got to gather themselves up fairly soon and head out to Narrowsburg to get ready for tonight's performance. So they're going to be saying goodbye to us here in our studio before my show is entirely over. So once they're gone, we'll be listening to some of those studio recordings, and we'll be hearing some of the songs from their latest Cause and Effect. Also, I found a recording of Lawrence Ferlinghetti reading the Coney Island of the Mind verse, in which he has the line with the Aztec two-step that you you know, have used for your name. So I'll be playing that a little bit later in the program. So
that's cool. Yeah, we'll be definitely
really
tuned
cool.
in to hear that.
Well, it's on a German website. It's kind of interesting. It's in English.
Nicht auf Deutsch. Yeah, well, and God bless him. He's still going strong. He, you know, he's still alive.
I think
he just hit his 90th birthday, and still shows up at City Lights Bookstore in San Francisco.
Oh,
he is quite an amazing life, and also published Ginsberg's Howl, which is a seminal poem, probably one of the greatest American poems of all time. So besides being a brilliant poet himself, who definitely inspired my generation, you know. Kids that studied poetry in college and whatnot, you know, the beats were so radical and profound and startling and just so fresh and, you know, quite amazing.
Well, I don't know if you have time to,
sure,
to maybe play one more song with
close
us.
Close up with a song
wonderful.
And we'll hit the road.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
So Neil hasn't sung his songs.
Sang, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. But why don't you do Walking on Air? That's an album. A song came from a second album, and that's an easy enough.
Okay.
Song. Is that good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you like to do?
Faster Gun. I mean, you got your finger picks.
But
up.
I don't sing Faster Gun.
Yeah.
You sing. Yes. I wanted you to sing a lead song.
But I just sang on.
But that doesn't count. That's a Simon and Garfunkel song.
Okay. This is also from the early endeavor. Friends say you're no good for me. I say, what's the point of being lonely? When I'm with you, I don't care. When I'm with you, baby, I'm walking on air. The deeds I do fall short of the goals in my heart. And disappointment in myself is tearing me apart. But you take my mind off my daily cares. When I'm with you, baby, I'm walking on air. Though the answers to my questions, you know the workings of my heart. You feel my anticipation. We never will say you're no good for me. I
say, what's the point being lonely? 'Cause when I'm with you, I don't care. When I'm with you, baby, I'm walking on air.
Such a romantic song. Yeah. All right. Rex Fowler, Neil Schulman, Aztec Two-Step live here in our studios. We're so grateful. Thank you, gentlemen, so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Kathy. Really appreciate it.
I know you got to hit the road. They're headed your way, going to Narrowsburg to the Tustin Theater. Catch them live in performance tonight. So while I'm helping them pack up and get out, I'm going to go ahead and share some of the original recordings from their 1972 album, their self-titled debut album on Elektra. I thought we might listen to Cockroach Cacophony, followed by Highway Song. This is Aztec Two-Step.
Sounds to wake you up and steals a dream that you thought was real. You close your eyes again, feel your face with your hand again. Your dream, but not the same. A different name, another game. You'd like to stay, you know you can. Bed to wet your face, first water hot, then water cold. You see yourself as half awake. You know you're young, you feel so old. And as the dark turns slow to gray, it's neither night, it's neither day. You like to stay, you know you can. What's confronting you is all that you can think about, is what's confronting you. You turn the light to find some clothes, you put them on, go to the stove, replace the water on the flame. The faucet drips into the drain. You clank a spoon inside a cup, a cigarette, you know you're up. You ask for what you cannot say. Life, oh bleeding life, who labors on with every breath, and takes you reeling, blindly wheeling, ever closer to your death. You hear the judge and jury curse, you watch them sentence you to thirst. And as you move from womb to breast, from nothingness to nothing less, you look away. About is what's confronting you, is all that you can think about, it's all that you can think about, is what's confronting you. to stay.
To the highway signs.
so kind. I told them you were fine. But today is nearly over now. It's nearly over now. It's nearly gone. Except the dawn.
Aztec Two-Step. From their debut self-titled album in 1972, we just heard Cockroach Cacophony, followed by Highway Song. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. So we were so fortunate to have Rex Fowler and Neil Schulman live here in the studio for the beginning of this afternoon's program. Some interesting conversation with both of these talented men. Aztec Two-Step, it's an unusual phrase. And I guess instead of calling themselves by their last names, they chose to be inspired by the poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And the title of their duo comes from a poem that he wrote called The Coney Island of the Mind. And I have discovered a recording of Lawrence Ferlinghetti reading this poem that Aztec Two-Step took their name from. So let's take a minute to listen to that. This is Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Number 9. See, it was like this. When we waltz into this place, a couple of far-out cats is doing an Aztec two-step. And I says, Dad, let's cut. But then this dame comes up behind me, see, and says, you and me could really exist. Wow, I says, only the next day. She has bad teeth and really hates poetry.
That's Lawrence Ferlinghetti. The name of the band was inspired from his poetry. And, you know, Ferlinghetti, the City Lights bookstore out in San Francisco, and his involvement, his poetry and his plays all throughout the 60s. There's another interesting literary parallel in the recordings that these two men have recorded. They did a song about Jack Kerouac's book On the Road, who was a very famous author from the Beat movement in the 50s. And there's another poet also from the same school, the Beat School, a man named Allen Ginsberg. And he has a very interesting quote about Aztec Two-Step. Here's a quote from Allen Ginsberg. May Aztec Two-Step's word brain fill the air. Anybody that's interested in poetry is welcome to enter my ear. So the lyrics, Rex Fowler, Neil Schulman, the lyrics are very beautifully written, very expressive, vivid imagery. It's not like they're going to write a song where the chorus repeats over and over, or, you know, the type of pop song where you maybe have one verse and, you know, and they stretch that out throughout the song. These songs are deep in lyrics, deep in meaning. There's another quote I'd like to read from the blues musician David Bromberg. He's a very contemporary blues musician. Here's what David Bromberg has to say about Aztec Two-Step. Quote, "To begin with, I think they're both a little weird. Well, maybe eccentric is a better word. With Rex, it's obvious because he's a poet. And poets are supposed to be like that. Neil is a little different because he's so open. But his sense of humor is not exactly what you might expect. Of course, maybe I say that they're weird because I like them. And I think everyone I like is a little weird. I've always believed that you need to have a touch of madness to create any art. And the music that Neil and Rex make together is beautiful. It has depth, and sometimes they get this spooky quality that really reaches me. That's the crux of the matter. Their music reaches me." And that's what David Bromberg had to say. Well, I'm kind of feeling the same thing. I'm very very excited to hear them. They are performing live tonight at the Tustin Theater in Narrowsburg, New York. Let's listen to a little bit more of their most recent recording called Cause and Effects, released in 2012. Let's listen to Falling Down Clowns, Aztec Two-Step.
Man, a poet and a man of vision, who spoke of change, its frustration in a voice of reason, of keeping hope alive and of a rainbow coalition on our way back home. I read the Daily Blues, I watch the news television. I've seen the poverty, the corporate greed, the disillusion should be the final straw, but we must draw our own conclusions on our way back home. Well, the carousel, the lovers strolling, the moonlight weaves a spell. What the hell, we'll keep on rolling on our way back home. Change is frustrations in a voice of reason, of keeping hope alive, and of a rainbow coalition on our way back home. On our way back home. On our way. woke out of a dream one night, got blinded by a brilliant light, and through the window of my room I saw the rabbit in the moon. I read about it long ago in a country now called Mexico, before the ancient Aztec roots foresaw the rabbit in the moon. The night was clear, the moon was full, I could feel its tidal pull. It looked so bright, so white and round, and the rabbit's head was pointing down. The rabbit is both soft and sweet, with floppy ears and lucky feet. And though it cannot fly or sing, it's never harmed one living thing. When Spaniards brought their holy wars and the conquering conquistadors, it made the rabbit's blood run cold to see them kill for greed of gold. To blast us all into eternity, designed by our most brilliant minds, to kill us all a thousand times. A good history repeat once more by this modern day conquistadors. And would you think it loony tunes to see the rabbit in the moon? I often think about that night when I was walking by that light. But was it light that stole my dreams, or did I hear the rabbit scream?
Aztec two-step, Rabbit in the Moon. You know how we look at the moon and we see a man in the moon? Well, apparently Rex Fowler found out that the Aztec Indians would look at the moon and they would see a rabbit. Another interesting allusion to the name. That's from their most recent recording, Cause and Effect. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. There has been a documentary made about the band, and it aired on PBS. It's called The No-Hit Wonder. I think that's a rather inelegant name for such a talented duo. Let's go back and hear one more song from their debut recording in 1972. The song is called The Persecution and Restoration of Dean Moriarty. Dean Moriarty is a character in a book written by Jack Kerouac called On the Road, about Neil Cassady and other nefarious activities. This is Aztec Two-Step.
Well, I can't understand what is wrong with a man. Don't you know how his acting was long ago banned? Don't you think it's a shame? Someone tell me his name. But let him continue, he may get out of hand. Well, look at him laughing and carrying on like a hydrogen manic or an organic bomb. He's alive like a child, so terribly wild. There's way too much freedom, of course he is wrong. He was born on the road in the month of July, and he lived on the road till he ceased for to die. Cause he learned from the road how humanity cries, how society lies. He sees them more than his eyes. Well, look at him running, don't he know how to walk? He's just too damn cunning, you can tell by his talk. You can tell he is rude, like a typical dude. If you want my opinion, he belongs on the line. Making sure that they'll never forget. So your curious friend about this man who will speak, for he tears you and scares you out of your sleep. I'm sure you'll find, if you open your mind, there's you and not he who is really the free. Oh, relax for a moment as you would for your hobby. His beauty abounds in his mind, his body, like the setting sun. The dust on his shoes. He's living, he's not a Dean Moriarty. Yeah. Yes, well, they're riding the rails out of Denver. Woke him and his friend's cigarettes. He's asking them all to remember. Making sure that they'll never.
I'm Kathy Geary. You've been listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. I hope you enjoyed the program, the live performance with Aztec Two-Step. Thank you so much for listening. This is 90.5 FM, WJFF, Jeffersonville, New York. And W233AH, Monticello, New York, award-winning hydro-powered radio. Support for Now and Then comes from the community and from the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, New York, riverreporteronline.com. It's about 1 minute before 4 o'clock. It's currently 63 degrees outside of our studio, and the forecast for tonight is for a few clouds with a slight chance of thunderstorms this evening. Chance of rain tonight is at